Page 16, Notes and Comments on Executive Committee Meeting, January 10, 1959, by Catherine Skivers. Editor's note, most of this article is from the Council Bulletin, February 1959. On January 10, Russell Kletzing, Vice President of the California Council of the Blind, called a meeting of the Executive Committee. Some of the committee had exercised the right under a section in the bylaws to force the president to have a meeting upon their written request. In addition to calling for a meeting, they also demanded that the meeting be held at the council office, which has not been done previously due to inadequate facilities and lack of space. Present at the meeting were Mr. Robert Campbell, President, Dr. Newell Perry, Mr. George Fogarty, Mr. Russell Kletzing, Dr. Isabel Grant, Mrs. Yvonne Eich, Mr. Lawrence Marcellino, Mr. Alan Jenkins, Mr. James Wood, Mrs. Helen Doss, Mr. A.L. Archibald, Mr. Tom Long, Mr. and Mrs. Manuel Urena, Mrs. Russell Kletzing, and Mrs. Catherine Skivers. Page 17, the first motion to be made was that first Vice President Mr. Russell Kletzing be made Secretary of the Executive Committee. Mr. Campbell declared the motion out of order as the convention had elected Mr. Fogarty as Secretary Treasurer. A motion to appeal the chair was made and passed by a vote of 5-3, and the original motion was passed by the same number of votes. Those voting for the motion were Mr. Kletzing, Mr. Marcellino, Mr. Jenkins, Dr. Grant, and Mrs. Yvonne Eich. Those voting against the motion were Mr. Campbell, Dr. Perry, and George Fogarty. A motion was made that in the future an agenda be sent out, or at least a statement be made, as to the nature or reason for the meeting. This passed with not too much discussion. The subject of legislation was then introduced, and committee members who had been assigned legislative bills to draft at a meeting in December presented them. None were in proper language or form to be presented to the legislature. It was agreed that Mr. Campbell and Mr. Archibald were to get them into proper form and see to their introduction. Mr. Campbell stated that Mr. Archibald had been hired at a salary of $550 a month plus some expenses and secretarial help should he need it. He said Mr. Archibald had been instructed to keep his expenses at a minimum and said that it was far too early to estimate what these expenses might be. Mr. Campbell also stated that he felt that we were fortunate to have a man of Mr. Archibald's experience, and it was pointed out that a resolution of the council had stated we should hire a competent person at a decent salary and at a salary that would ensure us the right type of individual for this work. Mr. Kletzing expressed dissatisfaction that the committee had not been consulted in the matter of hiring Mr. Archibald, but Mr. Campbell said that the matter had been settled before the committee meeting and a decision had to be made at the time. Dr. Perry spoke of Mr. Archibald's capability and his pleasure that he had been available to handle legislation for us. Page 18, Mr. Kletzing discussed a resolution of Robert Rotman's that would provide for advance money for special schools and integrated programs where the services of a special teacher are employed and would add the physically handicapped as a whole group rather than limiting the services to one group. The right to organize bill was discussed with the introduction of the following motion. The President is instructed to seek the introduction and passage of a state bill guaranteeing the right to organize and right of consultation of the blind of California. The lengthy motion called for the agencies and administrators of programs for the blind to consult with organizations of the blind with regard to their plans. An additional provision would assure by law that no individual or employee of the state, county, city, or district had the right to interfere with the right of the blind to organize. Mr. Campbell suggested that Mr. Jenkins bring up the matter at the agency coordinating committee meeting and that we ascertain how they feel before seeking to introduce the bill. Mr. Kletzing and others indicated that the bill should be immediately introduced whether the agencies approved or not. Mr. Kletzing is handling the case of Manuel Urena, who was seeking a job in the State Department of Employment but was refused admittance to the examination. The refusal to permit Manuel to take this examination would, in effect, close a whole series of jobs to a blind person. An appeal was made to the Personnel Board, but was denied. A motion was made to take the appeal to court. page 19. Mr. Campbell said he would like to appoint a committee of Mr. Marcellino and Mr. Jenkins and himself to study the transcript of the personnel hearing before undertaking this, but Dr. Grant and Mr. Kletzing felt we should go ahead. The motion was passed after considerable discussion, the council to pay court costs, Mr. Kletzing and Mr. Stearns volunteering their services as attorneys. Mr. Kletzing said he felt certain that there were jobs within this department that a blind person could do. Dr. Perry discussed the need for a booklet which would list the employed blind of this state and the various jobs they are doing, also something about each job. This booklet would be widely distributed to employers to assist in placement work for the blind. Dr. Perry said that the most serious problem of the blind, or at least one of the most serious, is the lack of employment, and felt that such a booklet might stimulate more placement work and make more opportunities for jobs for the blind. He speculated that employers would be greatly surprised at the number of blind people who are successfully employed. A motion to prepare such a brochure was unanimously passed. Then the real purpose of the committee became apparent in a rather difficult discussion of the seating of a Mr. Don Galloway as delegate of the Associated Blind College Students of Southern California at a coordinating committee meeting in Los Angeles in December. Letters to and from this group were read, and it was pointed out by Mr. Campbell that the letter of credentials on file in the council office indicated that James Wood was a delegate of that group until January 1, 1959. When a member of the coordinating committee at the Los Angeles meeting asked Mr. Campbell if he had credentials for Mr. Galloway, he said, in all honesty, to say that he did not, and tell him of the credentials he did have on file. Mr. Kletzing interpreted this to mean that Mr. Campbell had used the weight of the council presidency to interfere in the committee meeting. Page 20. Mrs. Helen Doss of Los Angeles substantiated the statement of Mr. Campbell that the subject had been brought up on the floor by other members of the coordinating committee. Nothing that anyone had to say in defense of Mr. Campbell was heeded, and Mr. Kletzing moved that it be the sense of the executive committee that the action of the council president in assisting in the disenfranchisement of the Southern College students at the Southern California Coordinating Committee is strongly disapproved. The motion was carried by the same 5-3 vote as was in evidence throughout the entire meeting. Mr. Campbell stated that he thought it reprehensible for a member of the executive committee to make a motion of this kind, knowing full well he has the necessary votes to pass it. He stated, "I feel that he had taken advantage of a situation to make the president of the council look unfavorable." The next motion made by Mr. Jenkins sought to remove Catherine Skivers as editor and make Mr. Kletzing editor of the News Bulletin and allow him expenses for secretarial help. Mr. Campbell declared the motion out of order and pointed out that a full discussion of the bulletin had taken place at the last convention, and that if there was any question as to his right to appoint the editor or to the replacement of the editor, it should have been brought up at that time. He brought to mind the fact that the convention had voted 65-4 that the editorial policy should continue along the lines outlined at the convention. Again, a motion was made to appeal from the chair and again passed by the same votes. The original motion was then passed 4-3 as Mrs. Yvonne Ike declined to vote. Mr. Campbell said as far as he was concerned, the motion was still out of order and that Mrs. Skivers would remain editor until otherwise decided by the convention. Mr. Marcellino then moved that an audit subcommittee of the executive committee be established to review the council's financial procedures and transactions, to obtain an audit of its books, review of office procedures, and to report to the convention. Page 21. The subcommittee shall have access to all books, records, and files of the council office and shall consist of Mr. Kletzing, Mr. Jenkins, Dr. Grant, and Mr. Marcellino. Mr. Campbell asked the motion be amended to state that the CPA is not to be an acquaintance of anyone on the executive committee. He also asked that the term office procedures be clarified. He said he had no objection to an audit, but he did resent anyone coming in to tell him how he was to conduct his office. He stated he wanted it understood that the committee was not to interfere with internal office management. The motion was unanimously carried. The meeting was officially adjourned. Mr. Kletzing then demanded books and records on the spot and behaved in an extremely rude and immature manner. Although it was almost 6 o'clock on a Saturday evening, he inquired insistently whether Mr. Fogarty could not make the books available to him. Mr. Fogarty declined to go to San Francisco for them and informed him that at the time and place set for the audit, the books would be on hand. Mr. Campbell then produced the records in the council office, which Mr. Kletzing demanded, and Mrs. Rathburn, Mr. Campbell's secretary, remained to read the information. Fern Pritchard, Mrs. Emma Burnham, and Mrs. Florence Rathburn were present throughout the meeting. Fern Pritchard took the minutes of the meeting. Fern was Alan Jenkins' secretary at this time. Emma Burnham was Dr. Perry's sister. Dr. Perry, several times during the meeting, asked various persons making motions to please withdraw them in the interest of the council, stating that one day they would be ashamed of their part in such a meeting. The performance of the group elected by the convention and entrusted with the affairs of the council was indeed disgraceful. It is now clear why issues such as the audit, the bulletin, our policy toward agencies, and other matters were not brought up at the convention. Had the convention delegates been aware of the real intentions of the group, they made a majority on the executive committee. It is doubtful that some who voted for the group would have done so. January 10 was a black day for the organized blind in California, but if many people react to such high-handed tactics in the way your editor did, it may have been all to the good. In any case, in view of Mr. Kletzing's magnificent appeal for unity, after he was defeated for the presidency, it was an interesting experience to see him repeatedly vote to do for himself what the convention had been unwilling to do, make himself president of the council without permission of the delegates. Author's Addendum. Following this meeting, Dr. Perry was in tears. He kept telling me that these were his boys who had just done these things. To see a man of his strength and his dedication to our organization so distraught was a terrible thing to witness. I kept telling him everything would be all right and that things would straighten out one day. He told me he'd not brought me up, but he felt I really understood the importance of the work we do. He asked me to promise that if the time ever came when we all could work together again, that I would do all I could to help us go in the right direction. I've done my best to keep that promise. It is my hope that members of the council will make sure they know what this organization is all about, and that they will combine their strength to do all the work that must be done to improve conditions for blind and visually impaired people in the future.